Welcome to the live Total Retail webinar, Triggering Email Marketing Success, How to Use Triggered Messaging to Grow Sales and Profits, sponsored by Blue Hornet, a digital river company. I'm Joe Keenan, Executive Editor of Total Retail and the host of today's event. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. If you missed the Tech Tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. Today we're talking about triggered email messages and specifically why everyone should be using them. Many brands aren't using email to its full capabilities. Case in point, nearly two-thirds of marketers aren't using triggered messaging. Why is this so astounding? Because triggered emails work really well. Consider that Gartner research found that trigger-based emails can generate 4 times more revenue and 18 times greater profit, or that open rates for trigger-based emails are as high as 49%, which is 95% higher than traditional campaigns, and the average click-through rate for trigger-based emails is more than double the rate compared to standard campaigns. To help us today discuss triggered emails, we have two great speakers. First is Liz Ryan, CEO of Relish Tray Media, a Chicago-based email marketing agency, and then Kara Neary, Global Email Marketing Manager at Columbia Sportswear, a manufacturer and retailer of outerwear and sportswear. With over 13 years digital marketing experience, specializing in email marketing and customer retention, Liz Ryan is an innovative thought leader in the field. She's been published in a number of industry publications, including MediaPost Email Insider, EM&C, as well as interviews in HubSpot. She's also been asked to present at industry events by ExactTarget, AdTech, Marketing Sherpa, and the Email Experience Council. As the founder and CEO of Relish Tray Media, Liz also works as an ExactTarget partner and HubSpot inbound marketing partner. Liz is an adjunct lecturer at DePaul University, CalStat Marketing Center. Kara Neary has been an email marketer for 12 years, starting at YesMail, where she provided account management, strategy, and execution services for multiple international business lines at Coca-Cola. For the last 2 years, Kara has been responsible for email program management, omnichannel strategy, and implementation at Columbia Sportswear, driving a 23% year-over-year revenue increase in 2014. So without further ado, I'd like to pass it over to Liz Ryan to get us started.
Thanks, Joe, and thank you for having me. I'm excited to present on this subject. It's very near and dear to my heart. I thought that we could level set a little bit and start a little bit with a definition on what triggered emails are. And I found this great one from Acton Software. Triggered emails are a great addition to any marketer's toolkit because they allow marketers to automatically send messages that are timely, personalized, and relevant to where that person is right now. And I think the key in this quote that I love so much is that the automation, the timely, and the personalized. And I think that's really what we're trying to achieve oftentimes in email marketing as a whole, and triggered messages are such a great tool to do so. And as Joe mentioned, triggered-based emails can be so much more effective than just kind of the old traditional blast types of emails. Forrester Research says they could generate 4 times as much revenue and 18 times greater profit than traditional email marketing. One of the things I really want to take from this presentation today, not only is this deep dive into Columbia Sportswear and their program, who are doing a fantastic job with triggered email, but also of the opportunity to use automated and triggered emails in your program. Not only are they greatly effective, but it's a competitive advantage in the fact that so many companies are not using them. And this slide from the Relevancy Group exemplifies a difference, the percentage of messages that you send, that companies are sending as triggered messages, and the amount of revenue that we are actually seeing from those. As well as what the automated and triggered utilization, what types of messages we're sending. Most people, if they are implementing some sort of triggered program, it's usually a welcome message, welcome to a campaign. maybe some changes to your profile, updating your email, or maybe some sort of behavior on the website. They're very, very effective. But I also want you to think, as we look through some of these examples, at the creative ways we could be using data and behavior and some of these other triggers as ways to really take your program to the next level. So again, let's kind of talk about what are triggered emails. Triggered emails are sent based on different criteria. It can be an action taken. It could be an event. It can be a change in the subscription center. It could be reoccurring based on a date. It can be based on some sort of threshold reached, or maybe a time interval passed. So let's look at some examples and some ideas around that. So action-based email. Now, many of us are very well familiar with the welcome email, as I mentioned. Another action-based email might be a confirmation of receipt. I'm sure many of us have received thank you for your order, or thank you for signing up for this event, or anything like that. Those are obviously based on some sort of action. Password resets, shopping cart abandonment are popular with retailers and can be very effective. And we'll get into some examples of that. On the B2B side, even sometimes on the longer tail retail side, there could be some around like ebooks or other content that is to actually teach the subscribers about your product. All those things can so a request for that product might trigger an email as the delivery mechanism. So just to kind of look at some examples and maybe some brands that we might be familiar with, obviously Uber is a pretty big brand these days, and you know they always send a confirmation receipt. What's interesting about how they're able to use that for some engagement is being able to tell you, not only give you a usable receipt that is important to get, but a little bit about who you were with, what time, how long it took you, and then also some options for some promotional content. And I think that is an important piece. It shouldn't overtake your entire message because it is a transactional email and it should be performing that service. But there is generally oftentimes some opportunity for some promotional content. And you can see at the bottom, give 20, get 20, asking you to promote their service to maybe some of your own network. Recent purchase email, I think that an example of this is also, not just that confirmation, but, if we ask for customer feedback, go out and find us on Yelp, give us some good feedback. Hopefully that's positive and you're giving a good experience so that that's not something that's going to backfire on you. And really giving you the opportunity to show as a brand that you care and give that nice feeling of thank you for shopping with us and really as a brand, a branding tool for you. And as we talked about a little bit, shopping cart abandonment, I actually really like this option or this example. So being able to use web-based behavior, and thinking beyond the shopping cart abandonment, are there other ways to engage with your subscribers based on what they're doing outside of email but also on your website? So being able to say, we know you came, we know you put some content in your online shopping cart, but you went away, here's a way to come back. We'll give you free shipping if you come back and order. I also like to point out that this is something that to tread carefully on and keep an eye on your performance. And I've heard multiple stories from brands who use shopping cart abandonment to get people to come back, but if you use a coupon or something, you can train your subscribers to wait for that coupon, which could be a good thing too, but just to kind of keep that in mind. Just another example of a confirmation email. And also to know when these emails are better served in a text format. Sometimes that can be the appropriate way. Using HTML could be good, knowing the type of message and when that's appropriate for your content. And we also have event-based triggers. That could be, I'm sure, when you signed up for this webinar, you got a confirmation that you when to attend and things like that. Using event-based triggers for live events, as well as for online events, but you know, and also segmenting that content based on the behavior of somebody actually attended or not. So being able to send an email, thank you for coming to our event, or thank you, sorry you missed it, here's that here's the content, or here's how you can learn more, or here's the next time we're in town, or maybe you'll make this event instead. Whatever you can use from the data based on that event triggers. These emails are can be so effective in keeping your subscribers and your customers engaged. If there is that content and that ability, come to our store. It could be an online event, a sale. If there's some way to use that type of somebody participated in a sale or some sort of online event, there could be ways to trigger them separately, trigger emails to them that are separate than from others. Following up on an example of an email, as far as an event, so you know, not only after the event, but make sure you come reminders and things like that. I think we've all been familiar with those kind of events those kind of emails as well. And knowing, you know, if it's something that needs a lot of detail, it's certainly appropriate to put in the email. Sometimes it's just short and sweet confirmation, and there's all sorts of different types of confirmation emails to use for that purpose. We also talked about updating member profile. I think this is also a really good opportunity to upsell some of your services or your products. So going in, and if I updated my member profile with something specific about my T-shirt size or something like that, being able to send an email specific to that content, knowing that I have been on your site and done something in that subscription center or profile, you're probably top of mind. It's a really great time to send an email, but also make sure that email is targeted towards any new information you have about the subscriber. You know, this example is health insurance, you know, updating my preferences and being able to say, you know, you were online, make sure you use all the tools that are available to you with us. And just another kind of example of something that might have changed in the profile, and this kind of goes along with like that, like a VIP type of thing. So if my, if I've gone and hit a threshold or I have a certain VIP status or a certain balance in my user account, that's a great time to, you know, send an email. You have 100 points, you can use that towards, you know, new shoes or whatever that might be. You know, great, when you hit certain thresholds, that being a really great time to send an email as well. Or any change to your profile in general. I think some of these, I've always been just absolutely fascinated to how great birthday emails perform. And if you're sending, especially if you're sending something along with, you know, a coupon, happy birthday, anything like that, they will perform. People just love hearing happy birthday. I've been in situations where I just thought the content was not necessarily the best subject matter, but the people just love getting an email that said happy birthday. So use that to your advantage. I would say if you have nothing besides a welcome email and you can get birthday and you have any birthday information or even an anniversary information, we've had situations, congratulations, I've worked with clients where it's congratulations on the first time you shopped with us or an anniversary of that. You can use anything like that as a great way to send an email or send a personalized a personalized like coupon. And we kind of already talked about the VIP threshold, but also like if you're familiar with Cloud at all, they'll send out emails specific to what my behavior is or a score that I've hit to say, hey, you are now actually eligible for this special offer based on something that has changed in my behavior based on their internal algorithms. And these are really, really effective and also make you feel really special that you've done something, you've achieved something, and you deserve to be rewarded. And just going to get through a couple more quick examples. The drip campaign or the time interval. So if you have a welcome email, a really great tactic, especially if you're an online retailer or there's something to teach about more about your products, it can be online or offline, a welcome series. So the first welcome to our email, thank you for subscribing. Maybe the next one is, did you know that we carry the certain kinds of T-shirts? Or did you know that all our shoes are locally sourced? Or I don't know, whatever. You can use that opportunity to, as a series instead of just a one-time email, to really educate your subscribers about your company. Customer satisfaction surveys are something after a time interval. Maybe, you know, you generally don't want to send those. If you're an online retailer, for example, somebody just bought some pants, you want to wait until they've actually had a chance to receive them and try them on before you send a customer satisfaction survey. But it's something else that you can use as a engagement and use triggered emails. For a longer tail retail or for anything that needs some time or consideration period, lead nurturing programs with that same idea of educating the subscriber can be really effective, sending multiple emails over time. And you can use data based on whether they've clicked or opened to continue sending those or not, depending on the sophistication of the technology that you're using. So as we've kind of touched on in these examples, the reasons to use triggered emails is to increase that customer loyalty, to increase brand relevance, to increase engagement. Increasing operational efficiency, I think, can be a really important one. The emails are automated, so that can also take a lot off of your plate as far as trying to splice the data yourself to determine what emails you should send or sending them manually. And as we've kind of said through some of the first slides, that increasing your revenue through triggered emails. My slides running slow here. Here we go. Oops. There we go. So just a couple other quick examples before we wrap it up. Just another example of a notification with a special offer. I think that Airbnb does a great job of really trying to increase engagement, as well as giving you some promotional information around, you'll get $25 when they travel if you promote our company or our site. As far as using triggered emails for increased engagement, I think some of us more than others might be really familiar with what Facebook does. Social media really depends on email in a lot of ways to get users to their site. And so, the slide is loading a little bit slow, but essentially the point being that social media is very big on using email and notifications to say somebody commented on your comment or your post or whatever. So I think that's a really big point for engagement to point out. So quick slide there. Sorry, just waiting for the slides to load this. So some of the benefits, and I think one of the big takeaway was the competitive advantage. Clicky says nearly two-thirds of companies do not use trigger-based emails. That gives us all an advantage. The third that do really do have an advantage of getting in front of, having up their email campaigns and getting in front of audiences in the most effective way. It also gives us, data insights, as well as using insights to send the triggered emails. We can with the increased engagement, we learn more about what kind of content at what time of day and what types of content and at what point marketers or subscribers are responding to. Like I mentioned, automation saves time, it saves human resources, and just keeping customers engaged through that timely, relevant content can be a huge benefit to your program. Lastly, before I hand it over to Kara, just some rules of thumb. I think it's important that we define business rules to help determine the best use of the data based on those goals. There are certainly some low-hanging fruit that you can start with and iterate, but planning out your campaigns and really what's going to give you the most bang for the buck, so to speak, before you start building out your program can save you a lot of time and frustration in the long run. keeping an eye on frequency limits to avoid scenarios where a customer could receive multiple emails in a short period of time is important. You don't want to oversaturate your customers with too many emails, but you do certainly want to use the opportunity to send them as many emails as makes the most sense to keep them engaged. Using a combination of the triggered emails and newsletters, there are often times where it makes sense to send an email to your entire database. A sale, for example, you're probably going to want everybody to know about that sale, and it's at a defined point in time. However, maybe you use some targeted content to help really increase the relevancy around that as well as your triggered emails. And I always say that, continually optimize. Oftentimes we have the tendency to want to set it and forget it because we're on to the next thing, and really keeping an eye on the reporting and what options and what opportunities are for additional optimization. There's always learning and the environment changes, so to avoid the tendency to set it and forget it. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kara, who's going to give us a really great run-through of Columbia's program.
Cool. Thanks, Liz. Hi, everyone. I am Kara Neary. I have been in email for as long as I can remember, but for the last 2.5 years, I have been managing email marketing for Columbia Sportswear and their family of brands, including Montrail, Sorel, and Mountain Hardware. So, it's generally accepted that triggered messaging is a worthwhile investment. That's highlighted here by the impressive metrics regarding conversion rates and revenue. But for us here at Columbia, working with a team of one, just me, it's the ability to automate these campaigns that has inspired the growth of our triggered programs across the brand. So let's go ahead and take a look at our approach. Figuring out where to start is a big step. I was lucky enough to join the team with a few key campaigns in place, like Welcome and Birthday. But moving beyond that has required us to look at what kind of data we were able to collect and pair that with what we thought would resonate most with our consumers, which is a really large question and takes a really long time to answer. But we can take a look at where we landed. So basic things we know we could track, things like when you joined our list, when your birthday is, what you've added to your cart, and when you abandoned it, things like that, allowed us to begin some retention-driven interaction with our subscribers, in the form of some basic messaging, and we're kind of slowly moving it to the next level with some more loyalty retention and VIP kind of program messaging. So if you've shopped with us, but not recently, how do we inspire you to shop again? So our next level would be something like an anniversary message, maybe with an incentive, maybe not, maybe just reminding them that we're here, something like that. If you stop clicking on our email, how do we incent you to come back? Do we implement a win-back campaign? Is that one message or three? These are things that we're slowly working toward. And then eventually, once we have you engaging with us on a regular basis, how do we reward you for your loyalty and ambassadorship? Figuring that out is kind of the key to our future of triggered messaging. But first, we'll dive a little more deeply into our current program. So here you see some examples of our non-loyalty welcome. Our loyalty birthday, and our cart abandonment campaigns for Columbia specifically. With regards to the welcome, understanding that this consumer most likely joined before making a purchase, we wanted to make this message both an opportunity to shop and an opportunity to learn about our amazing loyalty program. But, that's kind of our approach. There's a million different ways you can do this, and that is the gloriousness of testing, right? So, you can walk the wait, you can change up the creative, you can test all different types of information and how you display that. For us, we found in terms of response that this is the right mix, starting to call the shop and then following up with that information. Our birthday email is actually part of our loyalty program. That is not the case for a lot of retailers. It really just depends on at what point you are collecting that piece of information. And we found that subscribers are more likely to fill out additional fields if they are kind of registering for a larger program than just an email list. So that's why we've decided to incorporate that into our loyalty program as opposed to our regular messaging stream. We also give a gift. Not every birthday has to do that, but we do. And so we consider that to be an added carrot. So it makes sense for us to reward our loyalty members. And then we have a little bit more fun with this message. The dog caused kind of a stir internally. That picture came to us from our customer service team. Someone emailed it in, and we all fell in love with it. But even though it is not, you know, lifestyle photography from our branded team, we decided this is one of those areas where you can have a lot of fun and people can really identify with that kind of user-generated content, even if you don't display it as such. So that's very fun. And birthdays are just so flexible. You can do so many different things with them. One thing I would recommend in terms of collecting that data, there's a lot of different theories on whether or not you should or should not include the birth year. That aside, I would just mention that having a default date is not the best option. That was a legacy practice that was in place when I started. And if you are like me, if there's data already in the field, I'm just going to click next. So every year on the 1st of January, we have a huge influx of customer care calls from people who don't know why they're getting a birthday message on New Year's Day. So that's a fun one. Next, you see our card abandonment stream. We have a two-message stream, very simple. This is kind of really our starter set. We haven't even really begun to see what these puppies can do. But our first message is sent at 23 minutes after you abandon. The second message, if you don't convert at that point, is sent 24 hours later. Neither of them include an offer. The first one is really just letting people know that if they need help with their order, we're here. But, you know, there's no real pressure there to shop. The second one, we've added a little bit of urgency. You know, things do sell out. Your cart does expire, things like that. And interestingly enough, the results are pretty much 50-50 in terms of response. But they are both wildly successful for us. And we're considering, you know, adding a third, maybe adding a carrot with an offer. These are all things that we're considering testing. But there's a lot of it's a very malleable program, and its return on investment is huge. So I highly recommend them. But let's move a little bit deeper into our loyalty program. So when you join Columbia Greater Rewards, you generally have already made a purchase, either in-store or online, and you're joining at checkout. So for this welcome, it's less about conversion than all about education. Our loyalty program can seem a little complicated. You earn a $5 reward certificate once you spend $100, but that is calculated by points. So we considered that in our design, and we've tried to make it as simple as possible to digest how this program works, especially if you signed up in store, right? You are at a cash register, and somebody's quickly explaining why you should join this program with no incentives. And, you know, when you get that welcome, you have to really be able to put your arms around, what did I just do? So we try to keep it simple. We try to keep it visual. We're trying to create icons that they'll see again and again. And list things out for easy digestion. Then, further into the program, once you earn your $5 reward certificate, we email it like it's a coupon. So even though you can at any time sign in and view everything you need to view in order to use these codes, if you're out shopping or you don't remember your password or whatever, you know, it's important for us to make it easy for you to shop. So we created a triggered program that sends those emails out and then reminds you when they're going to expire. And then once a month, we bundle up their activity in a kind of credit card statement that shows them how many points they have, how close they are to their next reward, and when their current rewards will expire. And this is truly a triggered, it's kind of a manual triggered message. We don't change the creative out each month. We swap it out seasonally. But really, all that changes in this message month to month is the activity you did or did not engage in. So when you look at these a little more closely, you know, I think one would normally assume that the message that contains the certificate, contains the coupon, and is all about shopping would actually perform better than the, in essence, credit card statement. But actually, they're both about equally successful, despite the fact that the summary is non-promotional and kind of stagnant month to month. We find that people just kind of appreciate the reminder of, you know, where they are, where they need to get to, and what the status is of what they already have. People shop through this message, and it's very cool. So when we roll these campaigns up, we can see that although promotional messaging is essential to any email program, especially if you're a seasonal retailer like we are, there are identifiable benefits to enhancing the consumer engagement with some life cycle and transactional campaigns. The open rates are like nothing you'll ever see in a regular promotional message. And, you know, these are messages that, for the most part, don't include offers. So, you know, inspiring people to act without actually giving them anything to do so is, I think, the strongest case you can make for the importance of these messages. The quick-to-open rates are also an incredible sign of success because they prove that, you know, for us, our openers are inspired enough by the content that they see to click through. And that's with, you know, they're just being a dog, or, you know, a person wearing a jacket that you may or may not like, or, you know, it really doesn't matter. You're still inspiring. And the revenue per email, the revenue per email address illustrates an amazing ROI. So, I mean, these numbers are fun to watch month over month. So that's Columbia. Let me introduce you to Mountain Hardware. So our Mountain Hardware consumer wants something a little different from this relationship. This is a technical and aspirational brand, and we try to reflect that in our welcome. Like Columbia's, we know that people will shop through the welcome, the non-loyalty welcome, so we lead with that message, but we also take the opportunity to encourage joining our Elevated Rewards loyalty program. Unlike Columbia, this program is not points-based, but it has free shipping, special events, special offers, other fun features. And we also acknowledge that this audience is a little bit different in that they are highly social. They are highly social and they are highly visual. And we want to account for both of those facts in our design. So we have a call out for social that's a little more prominent than it would be for something like Columbia. And then we take a lot of time with our imagery, and it takes up, you know, half of our message. These are people who actually care how a zipper is sewn into a jacket or a sleeping bag or, you know, a tent. So we want to be able to show those macro shots so that they can educate themselves as well as consume. So the birthday gets sent to the subscribers on their actual birthday, and that's another interesting option with the birthday program. If I receive some when my birthday month starts, and I receive some on the day of my actual birth, I'm not quite sure if there are any stats about, in general, what works better. I find that getting something on my actual birthday is a lot more fun than being reminded that it's looming. So that's kind of the way we went. Also, you'll notice that the imagery isn't super product-focused. They are kind of evergreen images. Really, a birthday is something you shouldn't have to change the creative out, but once a year, unless there's a goal there to test for. So something to keep in mind. And this message was a recent addition to our Elevated Rewards stream, which previously just consisted of our Welcome Trip campaign. And this welcome is primarily educational. As you can see, we're just telling people what to expect from being an elevated reward member. But 7 days later, we have a surprise and delight message with coupons. They don't know it's coming, and we learned a very valuable lesson with the Columbia program that offering the incentive to get people to sign up resulted in unengaged subscribers who we never heard from again, and they had an overall lower lifetime value. So, you know, we actually really enjoy the fact that, you know, we can do something like this that people aren't expecting. And then the results of that are that they are so surprised and they are so delighted that they share this, that this is the kind of thing that they talk about to their friends, and it ends up resulting in some organic acquisition. And when we roll these Mountain Hardware campaigns up, we see that the welcomes are really an amazing opportunity to set expectations. You know, when people sign up for a list, that open rate that you see, that reflects their desire to know upfront what being a part of your list will mean for them. And that's really what your welcome should be for. I mean, obviously, you can do all sorts of stuff in there, too, just kind of the sticky content, but your subscribers should be able to walk away from that message with an understanding of what your relationship with this brand will be like. It's also super interesting to note on here that Mountain Hardware is a considerably smaller brand in Columbia in terms of catalog size. So, you know, the abandoned car campaigns, the welcome campaigns, everything is just in general smaller. But if you look at the abandoned car program results, you can see that the ROI is even higher in Columbia. And we'll move on to our last highlight with Sorrel. So with Sorrel's welcome, we spent a lot of energy around designing for this unique audience. These are fashion-forward people who want to be able to wear a heel in 5 to 10 inches of snow. And that is a large chunk of, I think it's safe to say, the East Coast and the Midwest. So they have been an integral part of our success over the last couple of years. These are also a very social group. And this is a group that, you know, when they're happy, they let you know it. And when they are upset that their boot is sold out, they let you know it. So when we are designing a welcome like this, we know that people want to see what the boots look like and how to style them and things like that. But there is nothing worse than clicking through an email or you know, seeing something on TV and going to try and find it and having it not be on the site or in the store. So we went with more of a collage approach here, so that you get an idea of the product assortment without really being able to identify styles. Secondly, this is a huge mobile audience. They do everything on their phone, the majority. And so we keep that in mind in terms of shopping experience, and we want that to be simple for them. So we let them know that if they go ahead and make an account, if they want to shop from their phone, that would be much, much faster and easier, and so we make sure to highlight that in our welcome message. And then last but not least, we have to give more real estate to our social piece. We want to make sure that they know where to find us and where to talk to us and how to talk to us and what they can expect from our social channels if they haven't visited them yet. And also to let them know that these channels are truly integrated and that they will have a true omnichannel experience. And then something that's new for us this year is our anniversary email, or rather we're trying to call it our styleiversary email. The jury is still out on whether or not that term is cheesy. And, you know, we have a wonderful brand, and it's very, very easy for people to become loyal to it. But in terms of being loyal to where they buy that brand, it's a little bit harder. And when your brand is sold in several high-end retailers across the country, you know, we want to make sure that our email program inspires them to come back and shop with us, to continue to engage with us. And then when they do shop with us, we want to let them know that we appreciate them and that we expect to see them back in shopping before the next winter storm hits. So that is what we are trying to do here. You would receive it if you haven't been back to the product for a month. That was your last purchase. And depending on the season that these start to roll out in our inventory, you know, it can be really successful or it can be really slow. But we think it goes a long way in terms of just building that long-term relationship with our consumer. And the results are just as strong. You know, even when you're dealing with an extremely limited catalog and crazy inventory fluctuations seasonally, lifecycle messaging drives both continual engagement and really eventually, most importantly, revenue. So if you find all of this as overwhelming as I do on a daily basis, there are a few key ideas that can help you find a place to start. No matter your list size, no matter where you're starting, implement something now. The welcome is often the easiest. And even if it's just saying, hey, we know you signed up, this is a confirmation that we know you signed up so that you know that we know that you know that you signed up. Even if it's something as simple as that, do it. And then optimize later based on, you know, what you think your customer experience needs to be. And that's number two. So at that point, you know, focus on who your consumers are and what their experience would be if you yourself weren't super integrated into the brand and how it works, and that experience. And then take that step back and design your welcome so that, again, they come away from it knowing exactly what to expect from their relationship with you. And then number three, make it visual. I can't emphasize this enough. All the best copywriting in the world doesn't matter if people don't read it. So, you know, really work on imagery, work on icons, work on, you know, if there's a point you need to get across, use math. You know, symbols, equations, all of that stuff, it really works. And, you know, we all know that people spend, on average, 6 to 10 seconds on an email. So they need to be able to come away from that fast, understanding what it is you're trying to tell them. And then number four, constantly revisit your creative. That is something we struggle with a team of one, we being the royal we. But, you know, it's always top of mind. You need to look at your trigger campaign and say, oh, my gosh, this person is swimming on a beach and it's snowing everywhere. What do we do about that? Let's put it in a mountain. You know, whatever it is you need to do, you can use evergreen imagery that never has to be changed out, but still consider refreshing it. And then, you know, number five, I think, is the most important. It's to never stop learning about your consumer. Columbia is an interesting story there because we have an idea of who we want our consumer to be, and in actuality, that is very different from the consumer that shops on our site. So as a company, as a brand, we have to come together and discuss how do we want to talk to the people? Do we want to talk to them in the way that, you know, we want them to be, or do we want to talk to them in the way that we know that they are? Or do we want to do a combination of both? Or is there enough data to segment both? These are all questions that, you know, you have to answer based on your retail style, your brand, your interdepartmental relationship. So those are kind of my five top tips, and that in a rather large nutshell is Columbia Sportswear's take on triggered email.
Okay. Great, thanks. I want to thank Kara and Liz for their insights. We have some time for some questions, so I want to remind you, if you haven't submitted your questions to Liz or Kara, you can take this opportunity to submit your questions using the Q&A box on your console. So we did have some questions already in the inbox, so I'll jump right into them. My first question here the attendee wants to know, do you have any insights on if you increase response by using more imagery in the emails, more visuals, sort of what's your thought process or your strategy around finding the right balance of images in your emails? I guess, Kara, that probably would be best for you to start on.
Well, I mean, testing is always the answer, right? So, I mean, You really have to start somewhere. For us, we just go with things that we like, things that we feel like relay the purpose of the email well, and then we build from there. So, you know, I think if you're able to access heat maps, when you do your testing to see where people are scrolling and people are clicking, and, you know, if it's on copy, if you can make that clickable. I suppose that that would be a good way to figure that out. But for us, it's a matter of if you spend 5 seconds looking at an email and then look away, do you remember what you just saw? And that's kind of our approach. So that's why, in general, we're a little heavier on the images than not.
Okay. My next question here is specific to abandoned cart emails. And this one, Kim, or Liz, rather, or Kara, either of you can probably touch on this one. Have you found any techniques that are most successful to get the customer to complete their order besides offering a promo?
excuse me. So, obviously, a promo is very effective. But even, you know, even just that cart reminder, it's extremely effective in literally reminding somebody of where they've been. Additionally, if you can put in, you know, product recommendations beyond just what is in their cart, that can be a pretty effective way of saying, you know, you left, not only are these items, there are some others that you might find of interest. And also kind of testing for time, or if you're able to see, you know, maybe somebody did some shopping on their phone, if you're able to do any sort of analysis on devices, you know, waiting a certain amount of time so that maybe they're going to go to their computer to finish, you know, not sending the cart abandonment right away. Doing some testing around that can be really helpful, just with that reminder of without the offer, in my experience.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we don't have an offer in our abandoned cart email stream, and it seems to be working out okay. I think for us, it's a little bit easier because we are a retailer that you don't make quick decisions with. We're not an impulse shopping retailer, so people like to take a lot of time with their purchases. So I think, you know, a lot of people use their cart like a wish list, and this is our chance to just kind of nudge them and say, it's obvious to us that you want this. You know, how can we help you make that decision? Do you need us to, you know, talk with you via customer care? Do you need us to help you answer any questions? And then that additional nudge of, hey, this isn't going to be here forever, is really powerful. You know, if you're on the fence about something and somebody tries to tell you that it's about to sell out, then you're going to make a decision. So you just have to figure out what level of urgency you want to add, because obviously you don't want to make them panic. But, yeah.
Okay. Here's a question for you, Kara. The attendee asks, can you talk a little bit about your plans for your coming soon triggered emails, specifically second purchase drivers and re-engagement? The attendee says those are the types of triggered emails that they're struggling with.
The coming soon. So you mean like styles will arrive soon and you can purchase them then, or?
Yeah, and it sounds like they're looking for re-engaging customers that you might not have gotten a purchase from for whatever set period of time, whether it's, you know, 3 months, 6 months, sort of those re-engagement emails as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone struggles with that. You know, Sorel is an interesting one, because how many pairs of snow boots do you actually need? Of course, our answer is a million, but how do you convince other people of that? So I think testing really is always the answer, but for us, we just need to see first what we need to do to keep them engaged. So if we see people starting to drop off or not click or whatever, you know, maybe that's where an offer needs to go. Maybe you have to shock them a little bit back into caring. And then once you do that, you take that opportunity to also say, and here's all the stuff that you've been missing. You know, this is why you want to stay around. For something like the Sorel example, you know, we just want to say, we understand that your boots are amazing and they're probably all you ever think you need, but that's not the case, because look at the new stuff that just came out. You know, maybe you're not looking because you have these boots that you already love. So what can we do to make you look a little closer? Is it an offer? Is it exclusive access to something? I mean, that's actually something that works really, really well. You know, here's a collection that is not available to everybody yet, but it's available to you, you know, or quantities are limited, or, you know, you can even conceivably manufacture inventory issues or urgency or whatever. I mean, it's all in how you treat the creative and the back-end experience. But there's no silver bullet. I mean, we are really struggling with our win-back because we're looking at people who may or may not have opened or clicked in a year. I mean, how do you try to get somebody who hasn't engaged with you for a whole year to open an email? Basically, we're like, the subject line has to say, your house is on fire. I mean, what are you going to do? So, I mean, these are things we all struggle with. It's just a matter of what you're willing to throw at the wall.
Okay.
Hopefully that helps.
Yep, no, that does. Next question is for Kara. Do you use Blue Hornet for your trigger? Does Columbia use Blue Hornet for its trigger marketing? It says the attendee says they're a small company and wants to increase revenues through trigger emails, but it can't afford to spend a large amount of money.
Right. Yeah, that's always a tough one. So we do use Blue Hornet for 85% of our messaging, and then we leverage some third-party vendors who still utilize Blue Hornet's platform but help us do some of the heavy lifting in terms of identifying those who abandon. I think that whoever you use as your email service provider generally has relationships with vendors who can fulfill things that either you can't internally or that they can't. And starting those conversations usually results in a really good collaborative integration for whatever it is you need to get to that point. And just
okay.
Do research. I mean, there's a lot of vendors out there who can help and want your business, and you know, almost all of them, depending on who you use as an email service provider, should have some sort of integration if they know what's good for them.
Great. Next question here. Can probably toss it to both you, Liz, or Kara for this one. The attendee says that they're a B2B company and most of the abandoned carts they see are from unregistered users. Do you have any ways to suggest that the company gets more emails from these unregistered users besides rewarding them with something? Any strategies to sort of get more email addresses from these abandoned carts so that they can get them into their triggered email program?
Yeah, I work with quite a few B2B companies, actually, and I would say really leveraging your content marketing and making sure that there is always an opportunity for your website visitors to give you the information, not necessarily, you know, a proponent of making you log in before you give somebody, you know, let somebody shop, but possibly, you know, giving free content or some sort of incentive just to get that email address. So whether, you know, B2B, there are a lot of, you know, a checklist that says the 10 things you need to know about whatever your vertical is, or using, you know, ebooks are one way to do it, free consultations or whatever. It depends specifically on the industry, but there's a lot of opportunities where somebody to give you just an email address and then allow you to market. And then you can also do profiling sequentially, where you basically, you know, next time they come back, maybe if you already know that their email address, next time you can ask them some more information so you can start to trigger and target content the more you know about them.
Okay. Here's one for you, Kara. The attendee asks, how do you successfully manage so many separate brands and each brand's subscribers and subscriber and email data?
That is a question I ask to my face in the mirror every morning. I could not tell you. I would say our team is smaller than most. I lean very, very heavily on my Blue Hornet account team. They keep me sane. But really, it's just the key to all of it is just diving in and understanding all of the sources of your data, how they talk to each other or do not talk to each other, how they should interact with each other, especially if you are like us and are a disparate family of brands that do not share subscribers. And then once you have that understanding locked down in your brain, you know, you build basically a roadmap from there. And again, Blue Hornet has been very integral in helping us understand, you know, how often we're talking to these people, and with what, and, you know, how often we should and what we need to cut back on and what kind of opt-down strategy we need to start looking at and things like that. We are definitely not 100% there. It's something that I want to work on more. But really, you know, you really just have to understand your business and how data gets collected from all the different points, which means going to introduce yourself to, you know, the den of nerds if you need to, and just say, explain to me how this works, and then try to figure out how you can incorporate that into your marketing. You know, is this information that I can utilize for personalization, or is this just information that I can use to create targeting, or is this information that I can't access and have to, you know, put a project in place to do so? But yeah, if you are working with an email service provider, definitely lean on them because they are the experts. Everything I know about how email data marries is from my experience on the agency side.
Okay. Here's another question for you, Kara. The attendee is asking about the subject lines. What are the subject lines that are helping to get the great open rates that you talked about? And they specifically reference your welcome emails.
So a really popular subject line, I think, for a welcome is, you know, it's usually a thanks for joining, and then following it up with here's what to expect or something to that end. Or if your welcome includes an offer, here's your first reward, or here, you know, basically setting those expectations before they even open the message is going to be, I think, your best bet. But that is the easiest thing to test. Subject lines are the absolute easiest thing to test. So you can play around with it as much as you want. Yeah.
Okay. I think we have time for one more. And the last question I have here is, do you have delivery email optimized for time zones, or have you tested this within your trigger email program?
We have not. It's definitely on our list, but we go back and forth between wanting to be able to throttle things for good deliverability versus getting things inboxed at a specific time. We do most of our send optimization testing with our promotional messages.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time, so I want to take this opportunity to thank Liz Ryan and Kara Neary. Also, on behalf of Total Retail and Blue Hornet, I want to thank you for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. So with that, I want to say thank you again, and I hope to see you at the next Total Retail webinar.